You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today we'll be talking about activism and the Buddhist life. Our guest is Polly Trout. Polly has a PhD in religious studies from Boston University and has been ordained as a Buddhist lay minister by Venerable Paniwati and Venerable Panidipa through Embracing Simplicity Hermitage, an American multi-lineage sangha. Polly has 16 years of experience in nonprofit management, including founding the Seattle Education Access and Padachara Community Services, and currently works as a nonprofit consultant specializing in interim and transitional staffing, development, and ethical leadership. Polly's also a writer, a mother, and an activist. She lives in Renton, Washington, with her partner and teenagers. Hey, Polly.
Hello.
Polly, can you tell us a little bit about your background and when your interest in spirituality and social justice started?
I can't ever remember a time when I wasn't interested in both those things. I think one of my earliest memories was thinking, what sort of world have I found myself in, and why are people so mean to each other here or unkind? I was sort of a natural born mystic, and I was born into a Christian family, but my teen years decided that Christianity wasn't resonating with me and started studying the world's religions, eventually taking refuge vows with Buddhism.
And what about social justice? Did you study that at Boston University too?
I didn't study it academically, but I've been involved with it ever since I was a child. Lack of justice has always shocked me. Cruelty, you know, shocks me, and oppression shocks me. And I started working for social justice in a serious way in my teen years. I was really involved in the nuclear freeze movement in the 1980s.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I was too. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the Seattle Education Access. I looked that up. It looks like a great program. What inspired you to create that?
After I got my PhD, I taught at San Diego State for a few years, and then I had a baby. And I realized that I didn't want to drag my baby around the country chasing tenure. It was more important to me to raise her with a sense of extended family and community and, you know, belonging in place. So I moved back to Seattle because I grew up in Federal Way and I have family and community here. And while I was staying home with my baby, I really missed teaching. And so I started volunteering as a tutor at the University District Youth Center, which helps homeless youth and young adults get their GED. It's in Seattle's University District. And I found that I had a real gift for building positive rapport with young people who had gone through a lot of trauma, but because I had also gone through trauma as a child and also had been a really difficult teenager as I was acting out of my grief. And so I originally thought that I would just start a little scholarship fund for students who had gotten their GEDs in this program and wanted to go on to local community colleges, because having recently taught at the college level, I thought that some of these students would make really great college students. And that became the kind of the seed of Seattle Education Access. And we started a nonprofit, and it's still going today. I worked there from 2002 to 2014.
Yeah, it looks like it's going strong.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And it helps kids get into those places.
The mission is broader now than it was when I originally founded it, working with young people whose educations have been disrupted by poverty and trauma. Most of the time I was there, I worked primarily with young people who had been homeless and on the streets in their teen years, and as young adults had, you know, found a place of safety but had really, really regretted having gotten off track with their educations. And I still keep in touch with a lot of my former students, and it's really wonderful seeing them thrive and do well. I have former students in all sorts of walks of life, including one who teaches college and has a PhD, lawyers, teachers, nurses, but also chefs, construction workers, plumbers. So a little bit of everything.
I don't know if this will be an easy question to answer, but do you bring your dharma to that work in some way that is explainable?
Well, I try to live the dharma all the time in everything I do. And when I'm talking to people, I try to translate it into ordinary language rather than Buddhist language or Dharma language. So instead of talking about Dharma, I talk about truth or reality. Instead of talking about Sangha, I talk about community. Instead of Buddha, I talk about liberation. But I think the true concepts in the Dharma are available to everyone and applicable to everyone. I think they're universal.
Later, you went on to found the Padachara Community Services. Can you tell us a little bit about Padachara and what the inspiration for that project was?
Sure, the mission is very broad. It's to help people who are suffering with compassion and respect. I founded it as a faith-based nonprofit that where I wanted to encourage people to dig deep into the intersection between contemplative spiritual practice and compassionate action in the world. I think that there are two sides to the same coin, and we need both. We need meditation to become clear about what we should do, but we also need to then get up off the cushion and live our values in the world in a courageous, vigorous way. I think that's what the Buddha taught and the Dharma teaches.
So you taught that, in a sense, to the volunteers. When you say it's faith-based, there were Buddhist values at the core of the organization, and the volunteers were taught that. Am I getting that right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have people from all sorts of different faith traditions volunteering with us, and our programs were open to everybody. But my kind of vision of how to translate the Dharma tradition into a vernacular language of practical ethics for today's world was a kind of an ongoing theme in the work.
And what does Padachara do in the world?
Well, until recently, we were really focusing our programming on helping our unhoused neighbors. And we briefly, for the first half of 2017, had a city contract to be fiscal sponsors of a self-managed homeless encampment. And unfortunately, that ended badly. The board and I decided together that we didn't have the capacity to manage a city contract of that size. We just didn't have the infrastructure in place to do it well and do it right. And so we ended up giving the contract over to another nonprofit. And so now we're back to being all volunteer. So that was a project where we learned a lot, but it was also kind of a fiasco in a lot of ways. And so right now we're taking some time off to let the mud settle from all of that so that the board and I will be getting together in January to decide what our next steps are.
Waiting for that lotus to come up out of the mud. Yeah. How would you say your Buddhist practice connects with the social justice work that you do? That is to say, do you use your Buddhist practice sort of while you're doing social justice work?
Yes, I use it vigorously in my social justice work. And most importantly, especially as a white ally to communities of color, I use it to check my ego and to work on liberating from ego and the egotistical mind while I'm being a helpful neighbor and person in the world working together with others who are of equal worth to me. So I think there's a tendency in a lot of social justice work for people to overemphasize their own heroic nature in a way that kind of drives some dysfunctional narratives. And I think that the struggles we're facing in the world today, climate change, oppression, the rise of authoritarian hatred, are struggles that we can only address if we're doing it together as neighbors and equals, kind of letting go of the messianic narrative that sometimes drives charitable work.
Would you say bringing some humility into it? Is that
Yeah,
sort of?
humility, right? That I'm sweeping my own backyard because it's the right thing to do, and because it makes my life better to live my values, not because there's anything particularly spectacular about me.
Yeah. You sought ordination as a Buddhist teacher. Did you feel that would help the work, or what was the motivation behind that?
Well, mostly I just wanted an opportunity to work more closely with my teacher so that I could develop myself and evolve as a being to be of more greater benefit to others. So I often joke that I only teach Dharma kindergarten, that I never want to be the kind of teacher that's on a dais with a fancy chair. with a lot of authority. But I teach Dharma kindergarten lessons that are just universally applicable. Things like don't take yourself too seriously, don't panic, put the knife down.
That's pretty good advice, I'd say. Do you do that in a community now?
My community is an interfaith community of people who are also passionate about social justice. And so I'm sort of a Sangha hopper. I'm really good friends with Chöboji Zen Center and also Sims, Seattle Insight Meditation. I have friends that I love the Buddhist Peace Fellowship. So, you know, friends from different Buddhist sanghas. But my community, my home base community really is more interfaith.
Polly, what's next for you?
That's a good question. I'm going to take a few months off here from being in the spotlight of public service to meditate and to reflect on the lessons I've learned most recently, and basically having, you know, tried to do something and failed at it, right? Failed and realized that I was failing and trying to make amends for that. So my vow is to do whatever I can to help others in this world, but I'm not attached to how I do that or where I do that. So I need to figure out how I can best use my gifts and skills in the world, you know, in order to make life better for others. But how that ends up looking is not important to me.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, Polly, thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Crossing. For more information about the Puget Sound Zen Center, go to pszc.org.